And you're very welcome to the DL Bit tonight. Of course, Pádraig Cullity filling in for the one and only Brendan Devaney. And we've got an action-packed programme for you as ever. We will be reflecting on the weekend's All-Ireland quarter-finals, Ulster sides Tyrone and Monaghan bowing out of this year's championship, while Dublin, Kerry and Mayo and Meath all booked their place in the last four. Louth, I should say. We'll be joined by Gaelic Live's Michael McMullen to look back on the big talking points from the weekend's action. But before all that, we'll turn our attention closer to home and we'll take a look at the All County Leagues as it's starting to hot up across the county. Well, of course, turning our attention to Division 1. Well, there was victories there for Glenfin on Saturday night against Nivora. Lower Ross there, 11 points for Glenfin, 1-6 for Nivora. On Sunday, Glenswally, they defeated, of course, St. Michael's 114 to 9 points. For Masters, 214. Terman, 14 points there in that one. Neve O'Connell, 12 points. St. Eunan's, 2-9. Just looking at the league stature there currently in Division 1 at the minute, it was four Masters who are sitting at top currently with 16 points. Dunlow sitting behind them on 15. St. Eunan's there on 15 as well. Suppose Dunlow have an extra game in hand against Four Masters, as St. Eunan's have the same games played. Terman sitting on 14 points there with 6 games, with 11 games played, should say. Glenswally with 11 games on 13, and Neve O'Connell on they have 12 points with 11 games played. So as you look at the top of the table, they've all have played 11. Just 1 point separates Dunlow and Four Masters. St. Eunan's there on 15 points as well. So it's going to be an intriguing finish to the end of the Division 1. And don't forget the championship draw. We will, of course, have the championship draw live here on Highland Radio this Wednesday, live from Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure for the championship draw. Looking forward to that one as well. And just turn attention to Division 2 as well. Just some interesting results to note. Nifadagish Kikin 115, Nadunav 19, Clonneely 318, Fanad Gales 19, Bundoran 15 points, Milford 119, Ardra 114, Neve Columba 319, Mallon 215, Burt 213 there as well. And just looking at Division 2, really tight as well. But Neve Columba out in front, they've only played 9 games. They have 3 games in hand with 16 points. Beside them is Nifadagish Kikin. They have 12 games played with 16 points. Ardra have 15 points and they've played 11 games there in that one. So it's really hotting up in Division 2 as well. And before we go, just some results in from Division 3. Robert Emirates, 12 points. Neve Alton, 113. Neve Breith, 314. Neve Colmkill, 10 points as well. There, Kenny Gales, 111 to Convoys, 2-8 there as well. Lifford, well, a big defeat for them against Mavill, 5-12 to 114. The Ross, 3-15 to 4-14. So we're getting into the championship end of the season, and well, looking forward to that as well. Well, last weekend, Donegal bowed out of this year's All-Ireland Championship, falling their defeat to the hands of Dublin. Well, earlier today, I spoke to Highland Radio's J analyst Brendan Kilcoyne on Donegal's exit and where they go from here. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Highland Radio analyst and former selector with Donegal, Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, you're very welcome to the DL debate. And suppose a week gone by, a week of mourning here in the county, and well, I suppose after seeing some of the performances yesterday, it would have been great to be there from a Donegal point of view. But as the dust settles on last weekend's exit from this year's All-Ireland series, there's still that hangover period, Brendan?
Yeah, certainly is. You know, there's a lot of disappointment around the county. So there is Pádraig, you know, following on from our exit to Dublin. So there is, and I'm sure there's no one more disappointed than the team and management themselves. So they are, you know, because ultimately it's them that put in all the work during the year. But yeah, definitely a lot of thought and a lot of discussions have taken place over the last week, and various reasons given as to why Donegal haven't performed particularly well since the league final. And, you know, there will be a review to take place and certain things will need to be discussed. But it's been really disappointing. Like, Donegal have lost 3 out of 4 championship games against Down, who are in Division 3, against Cork, who are in Division 2 and Dublin who were relegated to Division 2. But listen, we saw what the Dubs could do yesterday, that there's still a huge kick in them, and fair play to them, did a massive win yesterday, so they had over Galway. But from a Donegal point of view, you know, you'd have to look at it. You know, there are several aspects, I think, that need to be looked at. And, you know, there's no one here questioning the way Donegal prepare that. But, you know, throughout the league, playing really well. I remember watching them against Mayo. I was at all the games, McKenna Cup games, league games, championship games. And, you know, one of their best performances out in the park against Mayo, out in O'Donnell Park. And, you know, they played some absolutely brilliant football. But there's this thing about fatigue that I'm not totally sold on either. Mm. From the point of view, Porrick, you know, Donegal played really well, I think, for the first four league games. I think the fifth one was against Galway and Ballyshannon. And they played all right. They did enough to get over the line kind of thing. And when the pressure was on, they delivered. But they were poor down in the Hyde in Roscommon then. And, you know, they were poor above in Clonus against Monaghan. And maybe it was their training schedule at the time that kind of them performed to slump. And of course, we saw that exhibition of football then in Croke Park in the league final. So you kind of forgot about the end of the league at that stage, and we were all ready to go for championship. And then against Down, they just looked very flat. Mm. It just wasn't there. The accuracy with which they do stuff, you know, Donegal at their best, when they're playing slick football, the pan pass and everything is just moving so fast. Everything is on the money, on the button. And it wasn't there, so it wasn't against Down. And did that leave a huge kind of mental fatigue after that? You'd have to ask the question. You'd have to ask the question, you know, came back then, went down to Kerry again. Kerry down in Killarney, what a brilliant day that was. You know, such an atmosphere and what a great win. Came away with the win. And then there was Cork. And that, to me, that was the defining game of the season. 7 points up, 45-odd minutes into the second half. Looked to be total in control. But when something went wrong and the momentum swung against them, it was just difficult to swing it back. And they just didn't seem to be able to. And then against what transpired to be a better Dublin team than people gave credit for, they just didn't have it in the tank either. They were close and could have got over the line, but probably didn't deserve to on the day, Porrick, you know.
There was passage of play during that game against Dublin, you know, just coming back to Michael Murphy had a goal chance, it went over the bar. I think he missed, kind of, not that he missed hit it, but, you know, normally it was going to the back of the net.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was key moments in that particular game, just, you know, when Donegal, just like they were heading into cruise control. You know, there was aspects where maybe kickouts let them down. Maybe there was the odd hand pass and that went astray or whatever, you know. But those particular aspects. But look at the season, Brendan. Suppose it is from everyone. You know, you speak to massive Donegal supporters, and there's such high expectations this year that, you know, there was pressure on those players going into that Down game this year.
Oh yeah, but listen, there's always pressure at that level of football. And you can see, you know, watching the games over the weekend and indeed last weekend, like the margins are so thin, so they are, Porrick. And it's so easy, or it's so hard to get everything right on the day. And, you know, if you go back to the, you know, you're talking about the Dublin game there, I think Michael Murphy's effort was soon after Shane Malone's, and it would have really put them on the front foot and really got the crowd behind them and everything like that. And everything was okay at that stage, but didn't avail of them opportunities. And we just didn't seem to have that energy coming from our half back line that we had. And, you know, another thing that really kind of, I suppose, looking at, we've seen so much football over the last few weeks. I don't recall Donegal over the last few games kicking one ball inside into their forward line. If you're watching the teams that are successful, the Kerrys over the weekend, Louth, Dublin, some of the ball kicked into Callaghan caused havoc, so did with the Galway full back line. Heron and Liam Silk in particular really struggled. And we have good players inside in our full forward line. Or we can put good players inside in our full forward line, but it's not an option we seem to use an awful lot. And I know it's very traditional up here in Donegal to play to play a lot of it through the hands, and possession is key, looking at football over the last 10-15 years. But I think football has evolved with the new rules, with the three up. And I think if you don't have that in your artillery, you're making it somewhat easier for oppositions to counter you. So, yeah, it's something we need to look at. And, you know, I think we kicked 7 balls over the sideline in that game against Dublin, Porrick. And them kind of things really, really hurt and wear you down. And the fact that, you know, Michael kicked that 2-point free to bring you to extra time, that we were still in the game, you know, is a positive thing in a way, so it is, but we just didn't do enough on the day, like.
And suppose you losing Jason McGee and losing Michael Murphy and losing Hugh McFadden as well.
Yeah,
to that.
Yeah, and we were cleaned in that first 10 minutes, you know, that game over, we were clean. So we were, Dublin were just, you know, they were quicker on the breaking ball, but they had that physical presence around the midfield that obviously without Michael and Jason, and Jason had stormed into the game, if you remember, not long before that, kicking a two-pointer and following up at a one-pointer at a crucial stage of the game. Late on, but losing them was, you know, it was really a fatal blow at that stage.
I suppose as we're dissecting things, and suppose Jim has indicated, of course, he's going to do a full review of the year, like he does every year. And you know, there is, you know, there's noise coming. Why, you know, are they going to look at potential outside coaches, bringing in more coaches, and not from the county? And you see, like Kieran O'Neill going to Kerry, Conal Gilligan, Andy McEntee's over in Monaghan. You've Aaron Kernan with Meath. Paddy Talley's with Mayo, so, you know, is that something maybe McGuinness might look into?
I would imagine so. I would imagine it is. Sometimes, you know, our eyes get stale looking at the same thing at the same time, and sometimes a new set of eyes looking at things might see something that, you know, was right there in front of us that we didn't kind of work on or that we didn't develop. So I think it is something that definitely should be looked at, kind of, and I think it would only be good. And, you know, there's so many areas too around, you know, there's been a lot of talk, Pádraig, about squad depth. You know, we didn't start Ryan or Oisin Gallen, who were two players that I thought were playing really well up to that. We all understand why we did it, because we feel we didn't have impact off the bench the week before. But it's about maybe thickening out that squad, because, you know, you lose players like Niall O'Donnell, see Aaron Doherty scored something like 2.7 or 2.8 for Nave Columba yesterday. Players like these that weren't in the squad this year, that just left Donegal that bit thin on options off the bench, maybe, and maybe they didn't have full trust in the 26. It seemed to be the same players, and even go back to last weekend against Dublin, it was the same players recycled on, so it was, as opposed to bringing on totally fresh legs in the towards the latter part of the game. So it's something definitely that we need to look at as squad depth. And going back to your point, I think definitely a fresh set of eyes or someone with experience, you know, maybe to give a different outlook on where Donegal are playing or where they can improve or where they can gain them a few inches, because it is only a few inches and it's only marginal defeats that we've suffered, kind of thing, whilst not been at our best. So it's just a few tweaks like that that could make a huge difference.
And suppose when you're looking at squads, you know, you just don't know if there's a niggle or if there's injuries. You know, these players are going a number of years, and here in Donegal we've become accustomed to a little bit of success, back-to-back Ulsters, into All-Ireland semis, now into finals. Now we're not happy if we don't get into an All-Ireland final. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you can, there can be knee-jerk reactions to things as well, Brendan, you know, and the step that we have taken over the last number of years has been phenomenal.
Absolutely. Listen, we've a couple of Ulster titles, got to an All-Ireland semi-final first year, All-Ireland final second year, this year just didn't happen for us, like, you know, but it's been an exciting few years for Donegal. So expectation levels do rise, Pádraig, and people, you know, like, obviously there was huge expectation this year after getting the All-Ireland final, and you know, it's very hard to maintain that level when you're working off the same core group of players, and that's why fresh blood is needed and why, you know, new ideas are needed, because it's very demanding on players to keep that output day in, day out. And particularly when, you know, you're going so early in the league with much or less a full squad. And, you know, yeah, it is a difficult one. And it's, I think, you know, expectation levels, you know, if Jim would stay on next year, and you would expect most of the squad, it's not really an aging squad. There's a couple of the lads that are well, you know, moving into their, well into their 30s as such, but they are some of our best players, so they are, and they are so influential still on the pitch. Like, to me, Ryan McHugh had one of his best years this year. Big Hugh McFadden had one of his best years this year, you know. Jason McGee was fantastic, but I wouldn't consider him in that age level. Like, Jason is just, yeah, I think he's just a fantastic footballer, and the fact that we had him fit this year was a huge bonus, and if he can build on that and coming into next year, he could be a huge factor again.
And there's another key man, an absolute menace when he's on the pitch, is Michael Murphy, of course. It's vital for Donegal that Michael stays about, and it's a massive ask.
It's a massive ask. And listen, that has to be totally down to Michael. Michael Murphy doesn't know a Donegal football anthem. He's been absolutely phenomenal and was huge again this year. So vital to everything good that Donegal do. I've no doubt in my mind that he would have a huge contribution to make again next year. But ultimately, that has to be Michael's decision, so it has. And, you know, he's got an awful lot of unfair abuse online. So he has. Michael Murphy, let me tell you, is a lot more sinned against than sin. So he is, you know, on the football field. He takes an awful lot of abuse, you know, physically. Because player opposition know the threat he possesses. So they know what the they know, they try everything possible to try and curtail that influence.
More so, I would feel, this year, you know, there's been a lot of noise about Michael Murphy. Michael plays on the, you know, he's been around the block a long time. It does take a lot of, you know, individuals to go and mark Michael. There's always having this watch, but some cynical stuff this year, Brennan.
Oh yeah, like, you know, the abuse that he took down in Killarney, for example, that day was absolutely.
You were at the game.
I was at the game, and, you know, I believe I was chatting to someone, you know, that his body was absolutely wrecked after it. With, you know, he was absolutely plummeled down there, so he was. And, you know, you're getting that. And it's easy to say you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't react when something happens or you shouldn't do what. That's what the opposition wants you to do. They want you to react. But when it's constant, it's going to have an effect on your Porrick. And, you know, Michael's discipline down through the years is unquestioned, so it is. And, yes, he does play in the edge. He's one of the top Gaelic footballers, not only in this county, in the country over the last 20 years, and no one would debate that, but the abuse he got, you know, he gets on the field. And I think that comes from him being a big man. Big men out in the football field don't get the same protection as maybe a smaller, lighter player kind of thing. And because of Michael's physique, he does get a lot of that. And it's, you know, sometimes referees probably need to give a bit more protection in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, Brennan, from your point of view, we've been looking at a couple of things like player, you know, depth within the squad, players in the county. I just reflect on that, I suppose, from Jim's point of view, you know, he does give a lot of players an opportunity. Suppose, do you feel there's players within Donegal that maybe aren't involved
You know, and there are reasons, obviously, that they weren't involved in the squad this year, like the likes of Niall O'Donnell travelled to the States for the summer, and we know what he did, and we know the huge contribution that he made, for example, to winning an Ulster Championship last year with the scores off the bench. And then I suppose Niall just got a bit disillusioned that he felt he wasn't getting the game time that maybe he felt he should have been getting. Aaron Doherty is another lad, Oran Doherty from Naomh Connell. Mm. These type of experienced players that I think Donegal lacked. And by right, you know, for that game against Dublin, you should have been able to start Ryan and Oisin and have options that you trusted off the bench. And by the way, this is no reflection on Max Campbell and Shea Malone, who have been fantastic for Donegal this year. Absolutely fantastic, and have a huge future. So they're having a Donegal jersey, you would hope. Made massive contributions. But it's just having that experience and having different options for different positions depending on what you feel the game is going.
We've seen what Tyrone have done. We've seen what you know, Dublin have done, the performances in the league. They basically didn't really bother about the league. But look, you know, getting into the flow, is that something probably if Jim stays about next year, is having a look at that format moving forward?
I would certainly like to think so. You know, that players that we have to try and unearth a couple of players that will develop and play a big part come the summer, and they should play the whole way through the league, in my opinion. And if you do take a couple of beatings, so be it, kind of thing. At least you've prepped a few guys that will be ready to play and will be, that you know you can trust when it comes to the cut and thrust of championship football, because it's pretty savage championship football, as we see, like, you know, and there's, you need guys that you know you can trust and that, you know, have a bit of experience through the league. And
does that change your type of player? Because, it's, you know, athletic players now, you know, the speed of the game, it's phenomenal now, Brennan, compared to when we were knocking about and you were knocking about. Like, it's such a fast game now. It's so demanding on the body.
It is hugely demanding on the body, and particularly the way Donegal play Porrick, because, you know, we run the ball a lot. We move the ball through the hands a lot. We don't use enough of a kicking game, probably. And I think that's something that we really need to develop. And that's easier said than done, you know, because it's inherent in Donegal football that we run the ball through the hand and we play controlled football like that. And possession is key. And if you look at football over the last 15 years before the evolution of the new rules, that was the way to do it. Possession was key. So it was. Possession is still key, But I think the lack of variation to Donegal's play makes it easy for opposition, makes it easier for opposition defences to maybe nullify that running threat that they can set up defensively differently.
And suppose that one-on-one battle, if you're a forward playing against the defender, the ball is going to go in a little bit more. And obviously at the games at the weekend, there was a lot more ball put in. And suppose that one-on-one battle is something that maybe, as you have indicated, maybe culturally over the last number of years, obviously Donegal hasn't really used that as much. And is that a part of their game plan that they need to tweak next year, Brendan, you would feel?
I would feel that it is definitely something that Donegal, you know, management would need to look at to bring that into their game, because I think with the running game, we're very one-dimensional. Hmm. And if the opposition feels that ball isn't going to be kicked in, they can defend differently and it doesn't expose them as much. And we have some potentially very good inside forwards who would be well able to take on their man one-on-one. And if you were to let in a few of them balls, you know, they really have to set up defensively differently, Pádraig, so they do. And it just gives them another quandary to cope with Donegal. And I feel at the minute that, you know, teams know that it's highly unlikely that they're going to kick the ball in. Mm. So we can set up this way. And, yeah, you know, it's just, you need more than one string to your bow, and Donegal, unfortunately, this year didn't display that. Now, when Donegal do the running game, and when they're at it, and when they do it, there's no one better in the country at it. But if that's off by a fraction, which it was on several occasions this year, that's when you're in trouble and when you're caught, because you've men committed forward and suddenly the opposition can get in behind you, so they can.
Yeah, and that's obviously training. It changes everything, Brendan, that you go to do, like, you know, a lot of things. You know, your S&C obviously is a part of it, but you're running night after night at training. And I suppose it's a different ball game, really, if you put it that way.
It is, but like, all these guys are talented. Like, all these guys are hugely talented footballers. And I would imagine you set any of them one-on-one, or you took them out in a football. Yeah. They're fantastic footballers, so they're well able to kick the ball. Mm. But there seems to be this thing throughout the year where there was a reluctance to do so, or maybe even a straitjacket. And just one slight example, Shane O'Donnell, brilliant player for Donegal, carries the ball from defence to attack, controls the game so well. I don't remember him taking on a two-point effort all year. Against Dublin, we had an advantage of a free. Shane was at the top of the arc, hit it a whang over the bar, straight over the black spot. Well within his rocket. Now, I know that's different from kicking a ball into a full forward line, but well within his repertoire of skills to do so. But he only did it because he knew it was a free shot kind of thing. So maybe a bit more freedom in that respect to, you know, express themselves more in a football field, because we know they have the talent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And suppose that's, when you look at other players, maybe there's a lot more in them as well. Suppose, and getting that out of them, as I say, it's a discussion about Donegal's performance over the last year and a reflection, really, Brendan. And I suppose it's bringing that confidence back to Donegal, and one bad championship doesn't make you a bad team. You know, you can reflect on that, and there's loads to work on within the county here as well. And probably there's players that are coming through next year again that could make potentially the step up. We've seen the step up from Max Campbell, and also Shane Malone again this year was fantastic. So, you know, the championship is just around the corner. It's back on the tools. If everyone within the Donegal management team is ready to go again, they'll be out looking at this year's championship, looking to unearth more players.
Oh, yeah. And that will be the whole thing. That's why we're looking forward to the championship. Championship draws on Wednesday evening, live in Highland Radio, I think, Wednesday evening. Oisín's covering it. So, you know, it's exciting that we're going into our club championship, and you are hoping that you will unearth a couple of players in that respect. So you will, and I'm sure the management team will be out and looking to get a couple of players. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of lads away, a lot of the younger players kind of go to America, and rightly so, to get a bit of football over there and have a bit of fun over in the States for the summer. But, you know, I think I read somewhere that Shane Malone and actually Finbar Rorty are gone over for a few weeks, so they are to play over there. But Martin Regan expects them to be back for championship. So, yeah, you know, the I've lost my train of thought on what your question was, because I got transported to America.
Yeah, you could. just before, you know, we let you go, Brendan, I suppose the transition from county football now into club for those players, you know, they'll be looking forward to getting back to their clubs.
Oh, they will, yeah. And there's great freedom there, yeah. And I was going to mention too, you know, another issue that Donegal had this year, you know, the loss of two experienced, now every county has lost players, so they have them, but the loss of two experienced players like Patrick McBearty and Kieran Thompson, both left-footed players, was a glaringly evident, you know, loss, so it was throughout numerous league games. We didn't have a left-footed kicker, you know, that was naturally left-footed. So again, that made it easier for opposition defences in that they knew that the loop wasn't coming, or that the wraparound wasn't coming from one side of the field, that it could only come really from the other side of the field. So about, you know, maybe looking at that, hopefully Kieran Thompson will get through and get a good club championship on him and get ready to get back into action next year, because I felt he was a big miss this year. But, you know, there's a lot of young, exciting talent. You know, Tyrone, Derry have dominated titles, so they have. But Donegal have been very close to them over the last 5 or 6 years at both minor, under 20 level. So we have a lot of talent at underage level, and it's about harnessing that talent. And hopefully, players develop at different ages, Páraic, and hopefully some of them lads will develop and be an option or opportunity for the management team next year to introduce into the squad and push on from there.
Okay, Brendan Kilcoyne, thanks for that in-depth review of Donegal for the 2026 campaign. And you're very welcome back to the DL Debate. It is, of course, Páraic Kilfordy here sitting in for Brendan Devaney this evening. Big thank you to Brendan Kilcoyne after Donegal exiting this year's championship, a reflection on the year. And, well, suppose there's still a lot of debate about that. Before we go, one big result I just wanted to correct. Glen Swally were defeated by St Michael's, 9-114, the local derby there, and that one in that Division 1 clash. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. Michael, how are you? You're very welcome to the DL Debate. And, well, first of all, what a weekend of football we had.
Yeah, Páraic, thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, definitely a very busy weekend. And I suppose what I always find about this time of year is that you spend all year talking about league games and Ulster games, and all of a sudden the three big weekends that matter are literally bang, 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 and it's over. It just, and it probably links into Brenton's conversation. He had a really good synopsis of Donegal there. It just probably shows you where counties need to be now. I actually think that the Ulster Championship and provincials as a whole, as much as I don't like saying this, I think they're toast, to be honest. I think they're gone. And I never thought I would say that, but I do believe that's the way things have gone.
And what's your thinking behind that, Mal? Is it just due to the intensity of the championships, or is it just getting the players up for certain periods of the year? Because if you look at Donegal, it just looked like the energy came out of them, you know, when it got into the Championship Series.
I just think that the only one that's left that's, it's a sort of a two-horse race, and it's Munster. And I suppose it's no coincidence that Kerry are the provincial champion that are still standing. And like Barry O'Hagan made a very good point. He did a piece with me in Gaelic Life, and he referred to Mark McHugh's Roscommon, Westmeath as well. He said, unless you have some sort of proper reward for winning your provincial title, you know, what really is there in it? Because, like, you know, Westmeath and Armagh had to go away from home, and he was reluctant to talk about it because it was to do with Armagh, and it was actually before they were beaten by Kerry, so it's not a Sir Grips type statement. But there's no real reward as such. Now, there is a cup, and the Donegal listeners, as a county, you have really, really embraced the Ulster Championship. And like Derry won it back-to-back recently, and like we don't have an awful lot of success. And we absolutely milked it as well. But I just think now that I think the provincials are going to be for Kerry, and then whatever other county sees it as a bridging gap towards getting towards Sam, because the season's just too, too long. I even notice it from working in the media. You do suffer burnout because it's just game, game, game. So imagine training during the season.
And the mental aspect as well. I suppose training's one point of view. But like, I think it's a study has been done it's up on 30-40 hours a week now as a senior county player, and it's not, you're not really getting any time off because you're back with your clubs when you come back from the county. So, you know, player welfare has to be probably something that we have to look at as well, Mal.
It is a second job, Porrick, albeit a really enjoyable one, and people who are in it, they get loads of perks. You know, they'll get their gear and their food and all those things, and rightly so. And thankfully, you know, players are better looked after now. But in terms of it is just too much. There's just too much going on, and you can understand why in a week on week scenario, there's absolutely no time to prepare. Like Jim has mentioned it. A lot of inter-county managers I've chatted to over this past couple of 3 years with Gaelic Life, they've all sort of said the same thing, that you can't actually train during the league and championship. You're literally just going from game to game. So unless you have a chunk done early in the year, it's very, very difficult. I know we're sort of going off piste a wee bit here, but I do feel that it's got to the stage now where the Ulster Championship will be for possibly somebody like Derry to try and get back on the horse, or for what Westmeath did this year to actually kickstart them, or perhaps next year it might be, you know, the turn of maybe Wicklow to see how far they can go after a Tulton Cup run. And that's sad to say, but the game has got so, so professional in terms of preparation that the ship's gone too far across the Atlantic, that unless it turns back, we're not going to turn it. Do you know what I mean? So it's just... I know that's a wee bit off the topic.
It's all leaning into potentially Tyrone knew something that we didn't know. Malachy O'Rourke came in for a lot of stick, you know, I suppose you're in the league and that, and there was the daggers out for him. But look, we're going to reflect on that performance by Tyrone, first of all, of course, our nearest neighbours here. Great performance by Tyrone. A lot of talking points, but the left Croke Park just, you know, carried... just about to beat them at the end, Mal. You were at the game, and obviously you've seen it. It was a helter-skelter match, and I think I watched a clip of David Clifford being hounded down by the Tyrone defence, just like Tyrone of old, you know. But look, there was some big key decisions that Malachy O'Rourke was a bit disappointed with, but look, Kerry really, really fought hard for that one.
I wasn't actually at it. I was watching it in a house full of Derry people. My wife's birthday, and there was an Antrim person and a Tyrone person. We all agreed that we felt Tyrone got they didn't get the rub of the green in terms of the officials. I thought the officialdom over the weekend had left a lot to be desired, to be honest. And I don't often like talking about referees because I wouldn't be one, but I do think like the 45 situation was just that thing can't happen. Like in a game of fine margins, those things have to be ironed out. With the amount of hockey and fourth officials and all that we have now, there's just too much at stake. And there was a couple of decisions, like Peter Teague went one time for, I felt he was fouled in the air. And if he matched up against Micheál McCarville, you know, catching the ball late in the Monaghan game and him getting a free blow against one of his teammates for contact. So just a lot of inconsistency. And I do feel that Malachy O'Rourke has grounds for grievance, but at the same time, you always have to give credit to the winner. And Kerry, like, they're going for title number 40, Porrick, and you were there in Croke Park last year, and you saw how devastating they were against Donegal. So you have to credit them. And like what I noticed from your conversation with Brenton Kilcoyne, you're talking about depth and Donegal looking into the club championship, and Derry will be doing the same, and all the rest. But like, Kerry to be missing so many key players, but they're always still there. And that comes back to the Munster Championship thing where they can just dodge about. They're not going to get relegated, Raz Tyrone. And see the criticism Malachy O'Rourke got, I felt it was very, very unjustified, like, because the county, like, they're in a minor final this weekend. They were in the under 20 final. Like, Tyrone as a county are blossoming. You know, they are. They've always been there. Like, but now that they were just so close. They were so close. And you know what? It's a warning shot to the rest of us in Ulster that...
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. The two Canavans not even there as well, you know, so it's...
Exactly. It's I definitely do feel they're building something there. I do think, like, Brenton was chatting about, you know, does Michael Murphy come out again and all of those things. So it's the Matty Donnelly debate. you know, if it's not Malachy Rourke beating at his door, the rest of the Tyrone players should be beating at his door to say, look, we need you for another year, and Darren McCurry, because you see that thing about depth and missing Niall O'Donnell and missing, you know, Oran Doherty and things they got there. That does come back to you. So from the point of view of Tyrone, I would say they'll be trying to hammer everybody down for next year, because consistently, I have a friend of mine from Culleland, and I says to him one time, you're back, and he says, Mal, we've been here since 1984 and we haven't went away. So they've traditionally been here at the top, and I think it's up to the rest of us to catch up, our own two counties included.
Absolutely. And I suppose Darren McCurry, he's been used as a substitution, but come on and score 10 points, Mal, it's some freak. I know there are man sitting in this chair many as a night on a Monday night talking about scoring points, and he was one of them, but to come on and score 10 points, the Dazzler is back, absolutely.
What a performance. You know, the fact, Porrick, that somebody who came on as a sub was a viable contender for man of the match says a lot about his performance. It says a lot about how much Tyrone need him next year. He was just immense, and was it the previous game he was pretty hot as well, and yeah, kicking off both feet, and you imagine being a tired cornerback, you've ran the race with somebody else, and all of a sudden the Dazzler comes on. You know, it would make you second guess yourself. And again, it's back to depth. But there was, Porrick, they were just so close. And my colleague Niall Gartland in Gaelic Life, he's a Tyrone man, and he said something in our podcast today, and it made me think that, you know, Tyrone people be waking up on Sunday morning thinking, if we had to beat Kerry, we would have won in All Ireland. Yeah. So that's the other way to look at it. So it definitely will be a tough one to bounce back from. But the raft of underage players they have coming along behind, they know that they're not going to really be too far away.
Yeah, absolutely. Another man has really stepped up this year, and over the last number of years, is Con Kilpatrick at midfield. Has been immense. Like, you know, really, really, you know, kicking a two-pointer. You know, he had a fantastic, a fantastic game as well. And it's not just that particular game. He's been really, really. He's been a 9 out of 10 throughout this year's championship.
I don't think you'd get a better word than immense that you used there. I think that sums him up to a T. Like, even that day in Roscommon, whenever they were wobbling a wee bit, he caught a kick out right out in the wing, and he just stood up. And like, if Tyrone could ever get another couple of skyscrapers to play alongside him and Brian Kennedy, the way Kerry have those four big men, because as Donegal found out last year, it was the big men across the middle that count. So you're bang on about Con Kilpatrick, and you know he'd be in the all-star category for sure, and if not, one of those talking points of I can't believe he didn't get one. So that says an awful lot about his performance, Porrick. I would definitely agree with you there.
And Michael McKiernan picked up Paddy Clifford, but Michael McKiernan for me has been an unsung hero for Tyrone. You know, just he goes to the well every single game he goes out. You just know that he's going to give you absolutely everything. And Niall Devlin as well was important as well, also for Tyrone. And the big man Brian Kennedy maybe didn't play his best game, but those players are starting to become a real force in Tyrone as well.
Yeah, Niall Devlin, funny, the two defenders you chatted about, two Culleland men, like Niall Devlin, and that's them without Paddy Hamsey. So Niall Devlin, I think, it's very difficult to read it on TV, Porrick, but he seemed to spend a lot of time on David Clifford after David's goal. So the fact he kept him relatively quiet says an awful lot about Niall's contribution. As for McKiernan, he's a bit like Desi Ward. He's that two-point man hanging around the arc. There's a wee bit of dog in him that you need in a defender. If you're going to be going with Paddy Clifford, you need to be able to match him every way that you can. And again, he's the right age profile that he's going to be there next year. So those are massive players for Tyrone. And then you're into, you know, like Seanie O'Donnell, Kieran Daly, boys that were in recent under-20 teams for Tyrone, they're coming to the fore. But again, Porrick, the fact that you touched on the Canavans, but even more so Dara Canavan. Like, Dara Canavan is one of those players for me that you absolutely love watching, unless he's playing against you, because he's so evasive. And you can imagine, you know, the head scratching that Jack O'Connor might have done if it was Darren McCurry and Dara Canavan both coming on. So it just leaves Tyrone in a situation now where they've built a really good squad. And I don't know what your take on this is, Pádraig, as a Donegal man, because I know yous got promoted a wee while ago there as well yourselves. Has it got to the stage where Division 1 is overrated? Is that a viable conversation now? Because Jim made the statement one time that there's actually more competitive games in Division 2 because some of the games towards the end of Division 1, you know, teams like Donegal were pulling up the handbrake because they'd got what they needed. So possibly the Division 1 thing is a myth, is it? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a valid point, of course, you know, but you obviously play Division 1, Division 1 football always has been this romance thing that you're playing at the top tier, and you know, but potentially if you're building a squad, if you're trying to develop a team as well, and looking at tighter games, you know, look at, you know, teams that were in Division 2 this year, you know, they've been fantastic, you know. So look, probably as we come under this new, I don't like saying it, but this new era of football, like, you know, there's probably, you know, Donegal have to look at it next year as well. They went hammer and tong into this year's Division 1, and you know, definitely I think there's a case for it, Mal, you know. But as we're tight on time as ever, Mal, but we're going to get straight into Louth and Monaghan. And look, this fairy tale of Louth, you know, it's been amazing. 27 points to 218. I watched this game. I just have to, hats off to Louth, you know, going down after 6 minutes, going down a player and really having to dig it out. Look, Monaghan, and suppose, you know, you're looking at this Monaghan side without Rory Began. First of all, Mal, as we know, it's a massive blow.
Yeah, the most of the media pundits over the weekend, Pádraig, compared it to, you know, taking David Clifford out of Kerry. You know, his shot-stopping ability, his presence, his experience, his aura even. And that's before you get into the kicking that he done. And like, as a Derry man, I watched on as he was kicking points and putting us out of the championship. So to go in without him, the sending off left them in a really good position. We'll come to Louth in a minute, but like, left Monaghan in a really good position. I think they were 4-0 up. I was watching at home, so I wasn't taking notes. They could potentially have been 4-0 up or 4-1 or something. And then Monaghan weren't able to use the width at all. They were sort of, they couldn't spread the play. But a lot of that is down to Louth. Like, they lost a midfielder. I know numbers don't mean an awful lot because everybody's nearly a midfielder these days. But then Dara McDonald came in and put in, like, you touched on immense for Kilpatrick. Like, Dara McDonald was amazing, absolutely class. And like, he's come in from the underage system that Gavin Devlin has had his fingerprints on for a few years there. And like, what Gavin Devlin has done with that Louth group is sensational, to be honest. I know him and Mickey was in whenever they were in the lower divisions, whatever, but like, Louth's performance yesterday with 14 men, albeit, is it too easy to say that Darren McDonald probably played like two men at stages, and maybe that was their secret? Although I do feel for Monaghan in that decision near the end, and I don't want to talk too much about this because it's always about Louth, but when Monaghan went one up and Micheál McCarville caught that ball, yes, you can say Darren McInerney did lean in on the Louth man. I'm not sure of the Louth player, to be honest, but that was given as the reason why that free was given. But like, if that's the case, Pádraig, every single contested kick out now, there's going to be a free. Like, Peter Teig had his arm pulled in midfield, no free. So that's the consistency thing. So I felt that was a significant moment in the game. If Monaghan had went two up, who knows? But as you say, it has to be about Louth. Yeah. And they haven't been in an All-Ireland final since 1957, and it's their first time in a semi-final since then. So I think they're an awful example to a lot of counties. You know, park what they're doing at the moment, but I think a lot of counties can learn from Louth, and instead of rolling around and feeling sorry for themselves about what other counties are doing, I think Louth are an amazing example of what can be achieved.
My new favourite player is Kieran Byrne. Some of the catching he did yesterday, just been a menace. Some of the scores, just phenomenal. I've watched this guy in a few games, you know, and he just seems to... he's come back from Aussie Rules, but... my God, he knows how to catch a ball, you know.
Hey, them free kicks were deadly, weren't they?
Absolutely. And taking the shot on, and suppose it is Gavin Delvin's down to that coaching that's given them, you know, that licence. And Sam Mulroy, once again, just, you know, every day he goes out, he gets better and better. Look, Galway and Dublin, suppose, about Look, Galway were tipped to go in and won this one, obviously. But the Dubs, are they back, Mal?
I don't know if they're back. I think the pack is definitely closer. Like, and that's why Tyrone's performance was so significant, because Kerry were, well, is there ever such a thing as a favourite at the moment? Because it is so even. So I think I fancy Kerry to beat them. I don't think Dublin are favourites for all Ireland or anything like that, but I suppose with Conn O'Callaghan there, you've always got a chance, and possibly the whole Ger Brennan escapade, the way he's now back along the sideline, perhaps that does bring a wee bit of a galvanised edge to them as well. Yeah. But again, I don't want to say this again, but there's a couple of big decisions here as well.
Well, one of them was Maher for me. Like, I thought that potentially, was he dragged? Was he stopped? That's a penalty. Some days, you know, some days it's not. But
well, if the foul that was given against Darren McInerney was a free at midfield, well, that was a penalty.
Yeah,
you know, that was definitely a penalty. And I watched it back this morning again, just to clarify, Park, the referee's arm was still in the air whenever the ball was in that vicinity. I definitely think that was a penalty. The one at the other end was definitely a black card. I'm not sure what your take on it was, but there was a potential goal. Like, what have we with 3 minutes left in the show? How are we going to sum this up? But like, there was a potential goal scoring opportunity, but like, there was still Cian Hernan, there was still the goalkeeper. So what is a genuine goal scoring opportunity now? Like, if there had been 6 defenders back there, could the referee say, well, if he had kicked the ball, it would hit three people's feet and ended up in the net? You know, so I don't think it was a penalty for me. That's just my honest opinion. Definitely a black card. And those 2 moments swung that game, albeit I don't think Galway did enough to win it, to be honest. But they still could have. You know, yeah, they still could have.
Disappointing from a Galway point of view. A lot of head scratching. They were nailed on to get an All-Ireland final. But they're not, but their noisy neighbours are. They're heading to a semi-final anyway, Mayo. Huge performance. Just, you know, 2 lads, Kobe McDonald and Dara Byrne, 19 points between them, Mal. Some but a scoring for teenagers.
Unbelievable. Like, Kobe, unfortunately, we're going to lose Kobe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Dara Byrne's going to be there. Like, and he played in the Hogan Cup final last year, and his school were beaten convincingly by St. Pat's Mahara, and he never got a sniff. Whereas he's back, and he's playing an All-Ireland semi-final. And that may be perhaps something that Donegal can look at. You know, that if Dara Byrne can have that effect, you know, who's to say that Shane Malone won't be that person next year? You know, so that's the sort of level. And Park, it's unbelievable the way you sort of framed that. Like, a team that has been in so many big days over the years, that it's actually 2 Gassons that were sort of the main men for them. You know, in fairness, Ryan O'Donoghue had a very decent game as well, but those two lads were amazing. And I think the Dara Byrne one is the perfect example where I think under-county managers have got to trust a young cub if he's good enough.
Yeah, Gassons is an Irish word, is it? It's a dairy word, young lad.
There's a boy in college from South Armagh, he kept saying Gassons, so I'm not sure if it's an Armagh one or not. So,
well, look, it's Kerry Dublin, and it's Mayo Louth, and it's July the 11th and 12th. It's going to be mouth-watering. There's a disappointed Tyrone man behind me here, Mr. Paul McDevitt. But look, Tyrone are coming back, and, you know, I think he can't be too despondent from your synopsis there, from a Tyrone point of view, Mal.
Definitely not. I think there's a lot of plus points, but as a dairy man, you're looking at Division 2 next year. Like, how do you get out of Division 2? Dublin, Louth, Tyrone, Derry, whatever. So
it's going to be tight, Mal.
That'll be a main field.
Look, Mal, thanks very much for joining us tonight on tonight's DL Debate. Don't forget, we will be doing the Club Championship draw live this Wednesday night, 7:05, from Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure and Letterkenny. We will be broadcasting the draw live here on Highland Radio. Hopefully you enjoy tonight's programme. But for myself, Pori Kilfordy, and a big thank you to Joe Dex, Paul McDevitt is on the way after the news at the top of the hour. Good evening.